Now with Barry was so many. I remember sometimes he was. We play. I don't know. We played Peterborough, and in the game as well. I think was 5-3. But in the first half, we were playing, and I don't know some nasty performance and 1-0 down, and then I assist 1-1, and then we are 2-1 down. Terrible. And I scored 2-2, and then I did 3-2, but it was very poor performance defensively. It was very something, you know, gold night there. It's awful, and we come inside and he just destroyed everybody. But as I did, I was not feeling very well, and they took with a thermometer. They took my fever. I was four when I arrived to the after 5 minutes. Probably was not while I was playing. I was not feeling well, and on that 5 minutes we were there, I don't feel well, and they took my fever. I was 40, and he destroyed the guys. He destroyed them. He dropped all kinds of numbers, and then you look, he's like with 40 degrees fever. What the fuck are you doing, you bastards? You this. He was, you know, he's Barry, you know, he's so many that I don't know. He's for sure, he's more funny stories from him, but he was a kind of character, and sometimes you need, although he had this football knowledgement, but. And even nowadays, it's more and more is about relationship, believing, and you know, trying to get the best of your individual people, because we are all different, and we all tick in a different way. So, but the first time we had a game and it went very well, I scored, was on television. I think it was against Peterborough. And I said, no, okay, we have 2 days off. Okay, well, Jose, we go out, we go for a drink. And before we go in, he goes to me and says, "Jose, it's very good, you know, you have a drink, because this is the best thing you can do with a fan. Allow him to pay you a drink, and you are okay with that. And this is the best thing you can do. So I want to retribute the people." And we start to go in, and the madness. Everybody wants, and everybody comes, and everybody wants to have a drink with me. After half an hour, I have to speak in his ear and say, "Ben, please take me out of here, because I will fall on the floor. I cannot feel my legs anymore." I was not used to it. And I said, "And this was be a disgrace." So I don't know how I was able to hold in this back, and slowly he drive me out of there, and for us to go in the car and to go back in the house. And crazy. Next time I knew already. I had my drink when I go out with the lads, or if somebody comes, I had always half. My drink was always half. You know, okay, next when I finish my one, then I, you know, you start to adapt. But this was crazy. But this kind of relationship you had not only, of course, with the players, but with Birmingham itself, with the supporters, was for me, was great, was amazing, not easy. We start playing, and 5 minutes, nobody passed me the ball. And then the midfielder, I don't remember, he was blocked, and the only line of pass he has was for me. And he gave me the ball, and I dribbled four guys, and I crossed, and it was a goal. And I came back. The ball goes on the middle for us to start the game again, and nobody start the game. I just did this to my socks. I was looking and waiting for them to start the game, and I start to look that everybody was looking at me, players, everybody. They look, and I, because they were looking to me and David Hodges on the line, and I look to David Hodges, maybe something is going on the back. And then they start laughing, blah, 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 blah. They start to kick off. This time was no 5 minutes. The first ball, we win. Soon as we win the ball back, they look at me on the wing. Bah! I dribble inside, right foot, top corner goal. Finish the training. My trial was 2 plays. I was there freezing, but 2 plays.
Well, I was going to say, talk of unpredictable. Would you introduce us to the first time that you heard of interest from Blues and Barry Fry?
Barry Fry was like a father to me. He's such a character. You know, I came so young. You know, actually, I was the first Portuguese footballer to play in England, and this was with blues. And it's a very funny thing because I remember I was obligated to go to the army in Portugal. Okay. So I had to go. It came my thing, and I had to go. Of course, you know, because I was playing professionally, we tried to postpone, to make a requirement to postpone, to maybe to go later, because they were talking a lot about maybe it finished the obligation. Maybe then after, like now, you only go if you want to. So it was a little bit like that. So I had this. I knew that I was going. Then through an agent, and because the Bosman law just came out, so about the permit to be able to work in the UK at that time for all the European citizens was open. Was not more this like you still do for non.
Yeah.
European, that they have to have X game, X percentage of national games to be able to have the permit. So it came this opportunity, and I did all my youth in Benfica, the Giants from Lisbon, from 8 to 18. Then I was on loan to a small second division team on my second year as a senior. And then came this opportunity to come and have a trial through David Hodgson. That was fantastic as well, that I met, and my agent at the time met him, and we talk about the possibility maybe to come for a trial. Benfica, I was a Benfica player on loan, but Benfica didn't knew nothing about my trials.
Really?
Yeah, because when I came, I didn't know, I was young, you know, I just wanted to play football, but it was after it was a little bit of a problem, because well, the second division team, they knew the only way they could get some money if I get sold is if I would be transferred while I was their player. So they pushed, and they were very okay with the situation.
Right.
But this was very funny. I don't know if we have time to speak about my trial here. Well, but was like that. Was through David, Hodgson that spoke with Barry, and then they organized, and I came, and it was very funny because I arrived very tiny, raining, end of January, cold, unbelievable, and I think I heard about through podcasts, you know, it's very funny because to know the story from other people what is happening, and then I have my own side, because it was funny that the Bears organized the game. They have no pitch, was in the school, I don't know, was on the play fields of some school or something like that. And because of that, we arrive and it was not there. And we go to this school, and I arrive a little bit late, and they start to train already. And it was raining, it was windy, very cold. And they give me this, like t-shirt, old wool, no rain jacket, nothing. And I just went out with the shorts, and this was freezing. And as I went out, I started to warm up, but they were already finished the warm up. They start playing, and I was running up and down the line, warming up. David Hodgson was saying, come on, son, get warmed up. And I was doing 20 minutes, and then I stopped a little bit. I was stretching, but then they didn't call me to play. And I see Ed Steen and House and Barry Fry was not there, and they speaking to each other, and David Hodgson was there, and okay, just after 30 minutes, just say, go warm up again. And I warm up again another 20 minutes, and nothing, they didn't call me to play. And I was there and see what, and then I'm stretching a little bit, and then David, okay, just a third time, can you warm up a little bit? I was younger, but I said, listen, David, I'm boiling already. So David picks up the phone and calls Barry. He says, Barry, what is this? I bring you the player. Here is the way you treat it. And Barry Fry just after 5 minutes appear with the phone, doing the hand and speaking with Ed Steen and everything. So, okay. Warm up, Jose. I warm up 5 minutes and okay. In the end of the probably in the end of the training, they give me and I was a training game, and I came as a winger, and it's the ball midfield, you know, at the kickoff we start playing, and 5 minutes nobody passed me the ball, and then the midfielder, I don't remember, he was blocked, and the only line of pass he has was for me, and he gave me the ball, and I dribbled four guys and I crossed, and it was a goal. and I came back. The ball goes on the middle for us to start the game again. And nobody start the game. I just did this to my socks. I was looking and waiting for them to start the game. And I start to look that everybody was looking at me, players, everybody. They look. And I, because they were looking to me and David Hodge is on the line, and I look to David Hodge, maybe something is going on the back. And then they start laughing, blah, 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 blah. They start to kick off. This time was no 5 minutes. The first ball, we win. Soon as we win the ball back, they look at me on the wing. Bah! I dribble inside, right foot, top corner goal. Finish the training. My trial was 2 plays. I was there freezing, but 2 plays. Well, not my trial, because it was a kind of a fantastic story after, because, you know, Barry had signed, I don't know how many players.
Yeah.
David Sullivan didn't want to give him the money for him to do another deal. He was pushing, and then he said, okay, but we need to see him in a game, official game, like the Pointies League or something like that. So, okay, you can organize that, but I keep training with the team. On the weekend, I had to go back to Portugal to play during the weekend. I play the league there on the championship, I play. And I would fly after to come back again, because we had the game, I think, Wednesday, or the Pointies League. Arrives to Wednesday. Snow postponed, no game. And everybody was speaking him, the trainings were going very well. And I fly over again, come back to play again on Wednesday, again snow. Postpone the game again. I say, I cannot believe that. Go back again, play during the weekend. On this third time when I played, I like very much, okay, the attention, things were going very well. And I really, really start to build up myself that I want to go to England to play. I really want to. I feel good. I like it there. The people are good to me. And I think I have a big opportunity. I really pushed. And I didn't want to go back anymore to play on the weekend, because I just wanted to see things through. And I imagine the last game I played was Dragões Chandinense, was a team next to Porto. And we were winning 5-3, 2 minutes to finish the game. I had a play. I come from the wing, you know, dribble 2 guys. I do 1-2 with the striker and I was alone. And when I enter the area, the box, the central defender was coming behind me, and when I was going to shoot, it just whacked me. Boom! And I fall on the floor. I came up, and I saw it was penalty, and the referee come to me and yellow card, like I fake it, or I dive. He gave me the yellow card. Okay, the game is finished. We are winning 5-3. And I went up the 2 steps behind to go, and then I remember, wait. He was writing the referee on the little note like this. And I arrive and I touch his arm and I say something very nasty to the guy that I will not say in the podcast, but I really said something nasty, and he just gave me the red card. Not even the second yellow. He just gave me directly the red card. And I, you know, the game was finished and I was coming, and my father used to come from Lisbon, pick me up from the airport, and I got with the team on the hotel, then I played, and he picked me up, he bring me to the airport again for me to come back, and I was coming back, you know, to the line, to the dressing rooms, and I passed him, you know, I was seeing him looking at me and smiling like I know what you've done, and that was fantastic, and it was amazing, because we played the game. I came to England. We played the game on Wednesday, and of course, because all the commotion and a lot of people speaking about myself, that David Hodgson, when we played the game, he had another 4 or 5 scouters watching the game.
Why?
When I played the Pointies League with Birmingham, and we won this game 4-0. 5-0, I assist 4 goals. And when he finished the game, I had the whole stand clapping. And Bess called me and said, José, it's for you. and I clapped to the stands and everything. And next day we organized to meet at the club and to start to speak about details. And at six o'clock in the evening, my phone rang and I woke up and I answered the phone. It's David Hodgson. And Jose, son, yeah. Are you awake? Yeah, now I'm awake, Dave. And you have your football shoes with you. I say, yeah, of course I have. So I was in the Moat House by West Bromwich. And he said, so get your shoes, switch off your phone and meet me at the car park, but don't go out through reception. Go to the emergent doors by the middle of the corridors. And I found that very strange, you know, but okay. And I went there and then we traveled to Blackburn because his big friend was Kenny Dalglish, was the coach there, and just to have a training session with the guys.
Really?
Yeah. And I had a training session with them at the time, was recovering from injury, Colin Henry, that was their captain, and it was fantastic because I used to see the Scottish national team. He was the captain as well, and younger for me, everything was new. And I did a training with the guys. It was fantastic because, at the moment, it was very difficult. I remember the assistant coach telling me, Jose, it's impossible to take the ball away from you, only with a stick. And I was laughing with the guys. And then in the end, you know, soon as I left there, they offered me the same contract as Birmingham
really?
Was offering me. Yeah. And they were Premier League and they won the league after. Because it was Graham Lasso, it was Chris Sutton, Al Shearer, Tim Sherwood that I played with him after in Tottenham. Stuart Ripley. A lot of, you know, this team that won the league.
Yeah, Jason Wilkins.
And then we were driving down. Phones still switched off, everybody looking for us. and we were speaking, and it says, okay, Jose, it's your decision. You know, you have this opportunity now. They are top of the league. I was very young, you know. I just turned 20. I did 20 years old, I remember, while we were doing these trips for the trials. I did 20, my birthday was 16th of February, and I was alone in a Moat House, you know.
In West Brom.
In West Brom. I passed the midnight playing flipper machines, Bram Stoker's, D'Aquila. And I used to play that machine time and time. I know all the sayings, and it is the devil concubine, and it's stuff like this, you know, when you hit the bonus You know, I was alone, you know, chasing a dream. It's not easy, but I still remember that. And so we came down and said, I don't know, David, but you have the experience. You play the highest level. What is your advice to me? What you think? I say, well, Jose, it's very simple. In Birmingham, they want you for you to play straight away. You will play here. Maybe it will be more difficult for you. Maybe you not play. Maybe you can play a little bit, but there they want to play. And I'm telling you with my experience, if you do half of what I've seen in training, after you will choose where you want to play in England. Okay, so it's that. I said to him, that's the decision because they treat me fantastically. I liked everybody. Barry Fry was amazing. And, you know, these kind of things I was speaking before about confidence and things like that. I used to remember him shouting to them, close there, do that, you have to do that. I remember to myself, I think he understand me a lot and how to get the best of myself. You used to clap my back before I was sometimes, you know, enthusiastic to see what kind of, I know already what I have to do in my position, but during the game or before the game used to say these kind of things, you know, close there, go there, don't forget this, don't forget that. And with myself, sometimes I was waiting for him to give me instructions. And the only thing he said to me, he clapped my back, he said, son, enjoy yourself. It was the only thing other than, of course, the preparation of the game that everybody does normally. But I was always waiting for him to say something like this, and it was amazing. And this is the way I've come to Birmingham, like you explained to me, was not something so normal, because then with Benfica and with my club was a little bit of a, we took a little bit of advantage that Benfica was passing through a time that they had a lot of financial problems.
And I needed the money.
And you know that in Portugal, Benfica, Porto, Sporting, they grow, the schools are fantastic. The youth development is fantastic. The national team as well. But they have to survive selling the players. So, but for you to find which player, now they have other tools. They do the championship of under 23s. They have the B team that sometimes compete on the championship.
Yeah.
So, because when you are youngsters, they have to be, to win the league or be there all the time to be able to go to the Champions League. That's the window for them to present their players, to try to get the sales done.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult, because sometimes what happens is, you know, every youth developer, because they don't have the other platform, they don't have what they have now, the under 23s and the B teams. They used to be alone in small teams. And sometimes they end up having 60, 70 players, because every year the 3, 4, 5, 6, two, every year they sign professionally with the players, and then they had to loan them out.
Yeah.
And but at the time they had so much, they were struggling so much that they had to let go many of these prospects, because they cannot hold them anymore. And we took a bit of profit and advantage for this situation. And it was fantastic for my being here. It was just amazing to play in England, because it's a completely different world. I used to say to everybody, it's more noise to play football in a stadium of 30 and 40,000 people in England than I played in the old stadium of Light in Portugal. It was 120,000. I played in Maracanã because I finished my career in Vasco da Gama with Romário. Vasco Flamengo, 120,000 in Maracanã. But it's the environment, it's completely different. You know, I used to say, because as a player, when we are on the pitch, you switched off. You don't, sometimes you don't even listen, because you are focused on these things and you don't listen. In England is impossible. You know, sometimes, you know, I was small. I think I'm the smallest player ever to play in England, in the Premier League.
Yeah, I've read that stuff.
I think so, yeah. But imagine that I always on the edge of the box to, you know, or in front. I was always the player, not to, but, and sometimes you just clear the ball and you get the ball and you have 45, 50 meters or clear or 60 meters and you start to go fast with the ball. The noise of the crowd, it makes you goosebumps. You don't get this playing in the other stadiums, no. Even with under 20,000.
So the thing is over here.
This is very cultural. All the way the stadiums are. I think as well is because there, these other, we back in Portugal, it's like, we have like, you know, these crazy guys, ultras, is a part of the stadium that always sinking, but the other parties don't sink. So here, every time you play at home, when they start to sing, is the whole stadium, not the opposition and the away team, but the rest is the whole team. And something special, you score a fantastic goal away, even the crowd claps you. The away team claps. Yeah. It's very difficult in Latin countries. It's not so easy to accept these kind of things. You know, to play as well, I used to remember that when I had the first interviews, because then I, with Birmingham City, I had my first, my international debut. I was on television with 13, with 14 years old in programs. You know, because the way I played, it was like a taboo there. And because I was too small, they never took me to the national team. So I came to England and I was playing the first division when I came, and I was playing. So I'm too small to play over there in a more physical, more difficult conditions. The pitch is always wet, and how the hell I was playing and doing that. So I had to come to leave my country because of my height. I have to leave my country too. And then for them to realize that in this, like the Spanish did after, is they stopped looking at heights. It's just the relationship you have with the football ball, with the ball. So, but it was very interesting to have my debut. I had my debut there, and I used to say that, you know, what can I say? I lost myself a little bit because I was trying to say something now, and I forgot to finalize what, but okay.
Yes, the difference.
The fans, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. Thank you very much. Yeah. Because their Latin countries, judging, it's very by the moment. So in the game, you do something fantastic. You are the best in the world. But if you fail, they kill you. So that's why this sometimes creates strong mentalities. Latin countries because of this judgment. Okay. Hereafter, it's fantastic because every time I was at St. Andrews, I dribbled three guys and the cross went behind the goal. Yeah. And they go, next time I do the same and I cross well. In the Latin countries is more difficult because if you do that and you cross well, it's fantastic. If you do that and you cross back, and that's why sometimes when it comes these kind of players that live from risk, that was myself, like Cristiano, Figo, Nani, Simon Sabrosa, these wingers that we have in Portugal and more wingers nowadays, Pedro Neto's, is, you know, they get tough mentally because for you to be able to go big and to achieve success in our countries, it's very difficult because they see you straight away as an individuality.
Yeah.
So here they take that as a positive thing because you do this, you create space for, you know, you let me eliminate one player or two players, you are already creating space that nowadays in football is the most difficult thing to achieve. So, but in this kind of way, the culture, we are speaking about the culture, the country and everything. That's why you see when this players arrive here, they really they become to a level and they are stars because the culture and the people here, they love football. Okay, they are passionate about their teams, but you can see they really love football. There is different. They're passionate about the club, their colors, or they love and they are passionate about the colors. All other things, it doesn't matter. Here they okay, they have passion for their team, for their club, but they have a love for football that it's nowhere else in the world.
Beautiful. So you choose Blues then?
Yeah.
No regrets, obviously. talk us through then. So when you first joined Blues, who were the players that you took to? Who were your favourite people to be around and who were your favourite people to play with?
I'd like everybody, but I get along. Many times, and I go to Tamworth, and I was many times with Louis Donoa. It was there was a winger, fantastic. I get along with everybody, but Louis was the player that sometimes I were more close to it and more along. The other ones as well, because I'm a very easy guy, but I was so good with everybody because I really felt that they took me as well. I was foreign. I get the love from everybody. Mark Ward, I remember everybody. Chris White. It's fantastic. I think John Frayne, Leon Daish, it's a protector. No, but with everybody, you know, it's Gary Bull, Steve Claridge, what fantastic player. Fantastic finisher but you know, I remember everybody with a lot of because they really transmit that to myself. I think maybe because I was very young and you know, alone in the country. Not only them, this place, but the city as well. You know, I was sometimes even embarrassed because I would go to buy something on the supermarket and all of a sudden I have people and older people coming and want to pay my bill. And I was embarrassed. And I said, oh, embarrassed at the people on the, you know, you go out in the pub, you go for a drink after the games and this was crazy. There's the guys on the knees it wanted me to sign, you know, with the tattoos for Birmingham City to sign the head and to. It was, for me, it was something, but it was this kind the way they take me and this kind of love they have for myself, you know, I would always wanted to retribute. I didn't know that. I tell you something that happened to me the first time I was with Ben Allen, Jake Regan as well, was from my age, is a friend that helped me a lot. Ben as well, he used to work in the program of Birmingham City. I was to be around him, his father, Mr. Kevin as well, what a fantastic family. You know, when you are young and out of the, it's good to have this kind of people that really takes you and they help you a lot regarding the stuff. But the first time we had a game and it went very well, I scored, was on television. I think was against Peterborough. And I said, no, okay, we have 2 days off. Okay, well, Jose, we go out, we go for a drink. And before we go in, he goes to me and says, Jose, it's very good, you know, you have a drink because this is the best thing you can do with a fan. Allow him to pay you a drink and you are okay with that. And this is the best thing you can do. So I want to retribute the people. And we start to go in and the madness. Everybody wants, and everybody comes and everybody wants to have a drink with me. After half an hour, I have to speak in his ear and say, Ben, please take me out of here because I will fall on the floor. I cannot feel my legs anymore. I was not used to it. And I said, and this would be a disgrace. So I don't know how I was able to hold in this back, and slowly he drive me out of there and for us to go in the car and to go back in the house. And crazy. Next time I knew already. I had my drink when I go out with the lads, or if somebody comes, I had always half. My drink was always half. You know, okay, next, when I finish my one, then I, you know, you start to adapt, but this was crazy. But this kind of relationship you had, not only, of course, with the players, but with Birmingham itself, with the supporters, was for me, was great, was amazing, not easy. Was only 18 months. It was unbelievable that you get, and still today, that the love and the respect and the way that they feel about myself. Just the only regret I have in my career was not to finish my career here in Birmingham City, because I think it would be fantastic. But well, football, you know, the industry, and it's not easy sometimes, but This is where it really kickstart my career after, and I would really love to be able to finish it here somehow. But okay, but the same way, the same feeling is like coming back home every time I come here is fantastic.
We are struggling with injuries at the moment, so I'm sure there's a short term contract. Peter on Love Talk contract, pay as you play, good sort out. Yeah, I just wanted to ask. We were talking to Rod before, the story about the auto windscreens, is that right? Not being able to play?
Well, not the regret. Yeah, it's just, you know, when sometimes it's good when you go up and you start to have, you know, I had my debut, international debut on the 23s, and then was because of that I was not allowed to play the auto windscreens. We were crazy, you know, Wembley, everybody speaking about it. All of a sudden, 1 week before, it comes the feature for the international game, and we had I don't remember which day was the final, if it was a Tuesday or Wednesday. I just know I played the day after, but it was in Ireland. I did everything for them, even just to allow me to play 45 minutes. I will play 45 minutes, and then it's just a half an hour flight to Ireland. And it will be fantastic. And to be fair, next morning I wake up, I start to see the television and the images of us. I knew already and I follow, but the next morning, you know, I was, looking and re-looking, and it was the pictures of Wembley, we celebrating, and I was so devastated. And then we played in the field in Ireland, the under 21s. That in that day, when we go to the stadium, and I don't even see the stands, and we go out through some, you know, between two houses, these traditional houses, but normal ones, and it was the stadium. And we go in, and I said, oh, they didn't allow me to play there, but okay, you're representing your country. We had a very, you know, our coach was Nelo Vingada, that worked a lot and was world champion under 20 with Carlos Queiroz as an assistant many years. And Carlos Queiroz was in Sporting of Lisbon. That's why after I had my debut on the 18 months after, and he sent me a letter. You know, Jose, sometimes you have to, it's tough. We have to make tough decisions, but sometimes you are compensated. Congratulations. I don't forget that you missed the final of with Birmingham City. But, no, this is life, and I apologize, but then you have your compensation because you are having your debut on the A national team. Sometimes because of these decisions, and sometimes because life is like that. And so, at the moment was a few months after was okay, but I remember I was so sad. Well, happy because we won. It was fantastic. I celebrating, it was fantastic, but I can remember here when we were through to the final, we had to go to extra time. It was a raining day, and I assist Paul Tate for the 3-2, I think. And we went to the final, and it was the roofs of St. Andrews nearly went there. Was fantastic. And I was really looking forward to play at Wembley. Well, I play with the national team after. I win the 99 League Cup with Tottenham there as well. So I was able to get back there and to be successful. So, but it was very sad. Very, very, very.
Did you at least win the game in Ireland? Did you win the game in Ireland?
I think we draw 1-1. And, you know, I had a tough battle. It was a very nice game. I had a great battle with Stephen Carr. Okay. That we played together after in Tottenham and after he played for Birmingham. And I remember I did the I was with Stephen Carr, I think. He's Irish, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was with him, yeah. I had a very tough battle because it was tough player, tough defender. But it was quite a good game. I think we draw 1-1, but the pitch was awful. I think it was even not even straight. You can see it was crazy. It was crazy. Well, at that time, you know, when you look sometimes and all these nice new infrastructures in football. And I remember that I did my youth and still with sand pitches in Portugal.
I was going to say, would you have preferred, you know, the 5G now? Would you have preferred playing on that than
this hybrid?
Yeah.
I never played in that once. I didn't have that luck.
No.
So, okay. I think when you get used to it and everybody is doing that, the players it's a question of adaptability. I really like to play because when the first synthetic came, they were really nasty and a lot of injuries. But nowadays, you know, whatever is to develop, or if the players nowadays feel better. The only thing I know is this is all about details and very little details nowadays, and you need to train where you play. So it's you when you train your body, your fitness wise, your structure, you need to do it in the same surface that you want to play. Otherwise, it's going to be it's a big risk.
Well, we know you. Obviously, you've got your tour gear tonight, so we don't want to keep you much longer. But can I just fire off some quick fire round questions to you? Just before we finish. So, toughest defender that you ever faced?
Ooh, Gary Kelly.
Okay. Leeds.
Yes.
Also Irish.
Tough, very, 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 very tough player, and actually even I was speaking sometimes Luis Figo, my friend, and he said, Caesar. And there was some Dixon from Arsenal. There was some tough defenders, but Kelly was you know, even if I was low center of gravity, but he was fast. He moved well as well. He was tough, very tough defender too. One of the toughest ones for sure. If I remember, because for me sometimes taller, bigger because of my height, I get a lot of advantage. You know, changing directions and braking and accelerating and how bigger they were, better for me. I fantastic. So. Gary is in between, you know, small, but he was a tough cookie. Oh, very tough.
Okay. Funniest Barry Fry story you can share?
No, with Barry was so many. I remember sometimes he was. We play at Peterborough and. The game as well, I think, was 5-3. But in the first half, we were playing and, I don't know, some nasty performance and 1-0 down. And then I assist 1-1. And then we are 2-1 down, terrible. And I scored 2-2. And then I did 3-2. But it was very poor performance defensively. It was very... something, you know, gold night there, awful. And we come inside and he just destroyed everybody. But I was not feeling very well. And they took with a thermometer, they took my fever. I was four, when I arrived to the, after 5 minutes, probably was not while I was playing. But I was not feeling well. And on that 5 minutes we were there, I don't feel well. And they took my fever, I was 40. And he destroyed them. He destroyed them. He dropped all kinds of numbers. And then you look, he's like with 40 degrees fever. What the fuck are you doing? You bastards. You this. He's Barry, you know, he's so many that I don't know. He's for sure is more funny stories from him, but he was a kind of character. And sometimes you need, although he had this football knowledge, but and even nowadays it's more and more is about relationship, yeah. Believing and you know, trying to get the best of your individual people, because we are all different and we all tick in a different way. So
yeah. And one more then. What's your favorite football memory, even away from Blues, as a player? What's your proudest moment?
There's many proud moments, but there's one I remember more, which many, of course, representing our country and playing in the Olympic Games and many moments. Every time on the pitch with Birmingham was something very special, with the crowd and everything was, you know, goosebumps. And so this is moments, but when they start to be more and more and more, you intend to sometimes to remember other stuff, but I remember that in Germany we were struggling with Kaiserslautern, and we had a fantastic team, Yuri Djorkaeff, Miroslav Klose. We had a marvelous team, but we were struggling, fighting not to be relegated, and it's been tough. And I was there. I had a manager, German manager, that I 1 year I hardly play, and very tough. You know, the different kind of people and. And it was very tough for me. It was 1 year nearly without playing. And the next year I had a manager that I was a player of the season for Kaiserslautern. That's what I say to you. This is a lot about, you know, about confidence. You know, you can be something completely night and day. So 1 year I played 2 games for the Bundesliga, the old Bundesliga. And the next year I was with all these stars there, and I was the player of the year for Kaiserslautern. So, I had one moment that was a little bit on the change of this situation, that I don't see my mom for a long time. And she came to watch the game. I don't see her for a lot of time. And it was her birthday. And we really needed to win. We did an amazing second round out there. And this day she was there, 11th of April. And I score a screamer from 35 yards out with my right foot, and we win 1-0. And I remember watching for the stands, and we don't see it's full. Fritz-Walter Stadium is about 60,000 every game. So, and I saw my mom, and this was a fantastic feeling. Some of my biggest memories in case, it was many, of course, in football, but this was very, very, it's amazing. How can I look? I know that in the, where they used to be around, it was there as a lounge, and there's many seats, nearly the whole stand, but I know more or less. And I look and I saw it. It was just amazing because we won 1-0, and this was very important for us to survive and to be on the final of the cup that year with Bayern after.
Okay, brilliant. Well, yeah, so we won't keep you any longer because we know you're going to be talking all afternoon anyway.
Fantastic, guys.
Thank you ever so much for your time, Jose.
No, that was lovely.